Well, thank you, Leslie, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to In Touch on WCCI and WCCIRadio.com. In Touch is heard Monday through Friday at 11:40 a.m., and we're joined today via the telephone by Dr. Allison Primo Black, Chief Economist of the American Road and Transportation Builders Association. And Dr. Black, today we want to talk about a report that has come out, and it has some troubling news, and we're specifically going to tailor that to Illinois. It has to deal with some of the bridges that we probably travel across on a regular basis not being of great structural condition right now. If you would, let's talk in depth a little bit about that report and what it means specifically for, those listeners out there who are, out on the road every day here.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate you having me on today. What we did is we looked at a national inventory that covers every bridge across the country and really goes into depth on some of the conditions that we see with some of the structural elements of the bridges. Bottom line, it's a little bit of a good news, bad news story. The good news is that as a nation, we've moved about 2,000 bridges off of what we call this structurally deficient list. And that's where one of the key structural elements of the bridge is rated in poor or worse condition. So that's the good news. The bad news is that we still have 61,000 bridges that are classified as structurally deficient. And this really goes to the heart of the transportation funding issues that we have across the country at all levels of government, especially with the federal highway investment right now, which is about half of all highway and bridge construction funding in the country.
Well, obviously, it's great that we've made progress, and good to know that, but it looks like there's a lot of work ahead. And this report probably allows people to take an in-depth look at some of the local bridges and some of the conditions in their home areas.
This is an issue that touches every community in the country. In Illinois, there are over 2,000 bridges on the structurally deficient list. And these aren't just smaller bridges in rural areas. These also, as you mentioned, include bridges that are on urban interstates and major corridors across the state and across the country. So, again, these are bridges where school bus every day, people are getting to work, and you have trucks and freight traffic crossing as well. So it's a big issue. These are bridges where they do need some work that needs to be done.
And we do look at that, obviously, first and foremost, from a safety perspective. That probably is where we have to kind of start and work our way down.
It is. Every bridge is inspected usually 2 years. It could be inspected every year if there's some real structural issues. But the state DOT is trying to do a good job. They do put restrictions on bridges if there is some sort of immediate danger to the traveling public. That's either a limit on the number of cars that can be on the bridge at one time, or a lot of times I'm sure your listeners have seen a weight limit on a bridge for some larger trucks. So we do see those. However, we don't want bridges to get to that point. And it's a challenge to find the resources. And state DOTs have been doing the best that they can. They have significantly increased bridge spending, but it's just not enough to make a big dent. When you look at Illinois, compared to last year, there have been 59 bridges that have been moved from that deficient list. So you think about that backlog of over 2,200 bridges in the state and how long it would take to really make some significant progress.
Well, and Doctor, in preparing for this interview, I kind of see that, we've made great strides, but there is a danger of maybe, falling backwards and going back in this progress. Where does that danger lie?
The danger right now lies, believe it or not, in Washington, D.C., with what's happening with the federal aid highway situation. There is a lack of political will in Congress to provide additional funding for the Highway Trust Fund. And what a lot of folks don't realize is that gas tax that they pay for the federal aid program, that 18.3 cents for every gallon of gas that we use in the country, that's going into the Highway Trust Fund with a few other revenue sources. That money goes back out to the states to help with major highway and bridge projects. And that money is about half of all spending highway and bridge investment across the country. So right now, Congress is in a situation where they have to deal with the Highway Trust Fund and increasing revenues for the program. And until they're willing to do that, I don't think we're going to see more than just this very slow incremental progress. The other challenge is that over the last six years, while bridge spending has been going up significantly, it's becoming a zero-sum game because the amount of money we spend on highway work is actually down about 20% since 2009. So there is a little bit of a trade-off between both of these modes when you have such limited resources overall.
Well, Doctor, I guess the next question is, what can the average person, the average listener out there do? I know that education is a key, and probably checking out this report in depth is one aspect of, you know, being a concerned citizen. But what other things can we do to help get that message across?
I think the best thing the American people can do is let their elected officials know that they are concerned about this issue and they want to have a situation resolved. And we've seen a number of local communities do this. Over the last 10 years, there have been over 650 ballot initiatives where people at the local level have approved measures to say, you know what, let's increase our transportation revenues. Let's take a little bit more money either through a property tax, a gas tax, or some sort of funding increase, and let's put it towards addressing our highway and bridge and transit conditions. So we've seen a number of people take that step, and I think it's important that they let their members of Congress know, as well as state and local officials, that this is an issue and this is a concern, and people need to do their job in Washington, D.C. and in the state legislatures to take care of these systems that are so vital to our economy and our safety and everyday people's lives.
Well, as our time is winding down today, and you've probably touched upon some of these, but any final thoughts, any loose ends that you'd like to tie up, or anything you'd like to add in closing, please do so now.
I'd just like to underscore this is an issue that touches every community across the country, and a lot of times folks don't realize about some of the structural issues with these bridges that they are traveling over. And they don't necessarily need to be afraid of going over those bridges, but they need to be aware that there is an issue with funding, which supports our economic system. This transportation is so important to our overall economy and growth. And people are going to pay for it one way or the other. If you don't make the investments in your transportation system, then people just spend more time sitting in congestion, more time that they spend for wasted gasoline and spending time in their cars when they could be with their family or doing something that they're enjoying more than their commute.
Well, Doctor, we certainly appreciate your time today. We invite you to stop back in the future and update us on this very important topic. And again, thanks for being with us today on the InTouch show.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.